exactly who I am.
Mac Brown.
Now, say my name.
We Mac must Brown. Pay homage to him.
All right, folks, we're back with our post-game podcast, the original post-game podcast. For everybody else who's copied us, I hope you're listening. That was brutal. I fully didn't expect to win. You know, I thought we had a chance if the defense brought the intensity. But straight away, they got pushed around on both sides of the ball. They were too soft. The energy wasn't there. It wasn't the same effort level that we've seen before. And that's the biggest issue I have with this game. We'll get into all the details and whatnot, but I mean, really, when it comes down to it, you claim to be the blue collar school and you really just got pushed around. I mean, just the Carolina ran for over 300 yards. You couldn't tackle anybody. The missed tackle number, somebody's got to do an actual number on that or record that, because that's got to be in the 20s. I mean, that was embarrassing. Yeah,
looked like a team that was more interested in releasing a hype video than playing football this week. And I guess I got two things I'm going to say. One, yeah, don't release that video until after the game. I know you put a lot of effort into it. It was really good. I know all the fans at least liked it last night. I thought it was a dumb decision, considering you had you knew what you were about to walk into with your backup quarterbacks. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I feel like I said it on the podcast. Maybe I didn't, but you can't expect your defense to play like it did the last 3+ weeks with their hair on fire when they don't think they have a quarterback. And I am not shocked at all that our defense looked like it was not interested in playing that hard. And their running backs are really good. Javonte Williams has been doing this kind of thing to a lot of people all year, but
he's legit,
you know. And I'll just say this. I know he has a lot of heart and a lot of grit and whatever. I'm sure Dave's talking about it in the press conference right now, but I think it's kind of questionable to let Peyton Wilson keep going out in the game when he's clearly hobbled and he's very important and you are not winning that game. So I was a little frustrated to see that personally. I don't know if we just didn't have enough available linebackers, or I don't know. I just from a fan's watching the coach's point of view, I thought that was kind of shady on Doran's part to not just pull him out of the game and protect him from himself. So,
yeah, you know, straight away they gave up a long drive, or they went 3 and out or what, something close to that. And then they gave up a long drive, and then they gave up another long drive. And the initial reaction that the people always had, and it was great on Twitter, I put this out there, and everybody's response was, oh, well, the offense isn't doing anything for them, and they're tired. I was like, it's the first quarter. You cannot use that excuse. In the fourth quarter, if they're running it down your throat, then yeah, you can say that. The offense hasn't given them anything. They're tired. But man, the effort was, it's just not there. They're not wrapping up. They're going for, you know, shoulder tackles. And Carolina, the running backs, let's be straight, they're good, and they just plowed through them, and it was an embarrassing effort defensively.
Well,
just embarrassing.
I will say, if you're gonna tackle like that, it's gonna look like that when your scheme is clearly, they were playing to not get their doors blown off by De'Ami Brown, which is fine. Like, I think I'm fine with you letting them march down the field. One, it eats up clock. And, you know, if you're playing any semblance of football in the other direction, it's going to, you know, limit what the score could turn into. But then our guys, like, we're just trying to shoulder them the whole time. And I don't understand what was going on with the defensive line and the contain. And I do not understand why guys were not wrapping up. Like, you can't hit a 220-plus pound running back that's as good as Javonte Williams is up high with your shoulder and expect him to go down. You got to get low and you got to get his legs. And, you know, that's just a sign that your defense isn't really interested in playing as much, you know. And, yeah, the other thing, too, is, like, you know, it wasn't really going to matter at that point, but, you know, they missed an interception on that deflected ball from Howell to, I think it was the tight end. you know, so like you didn't really have luck going your way. You definitely didn't have luck going your way once you got Finley in the game. And, you know, Parham just, I just don't even understand what happened on that play. I watched it 3 or 4 times. He jumps up a little bit. I don't know if the sun was in his eyes or what, but like the ball pops up perfectly. It's intercepted. And like, I think at that point, I don't know if you did, but I was like, all right, it's definitely going to be that kind of game.
You know, that,
I mean, that we had 34 play just yards kind of, rushing.
What's what?
We had 34 yards rushing. Like, everyone always says the team that runs the ball wins this game. And it's pretty bad when it's 326 to 34. Like, no one was playing physical in this game. I mean, it doesn't help when you come out and go 3 and out, 4 and out, 3 and out. Like, if you're the defense, if you're the team, and you've been kind of like watching what's happening all week, I am sure it's pretty deflating to lose your starting quarterback, especially the way you lost him. And, you know, I'm not shocked by the outcome, but like, I just didn't expect us to come out and play like bitches. And that's what it looked like.
I almost nailed it. Sorry to interrupt you. I almost nailed it with my comment earlier in the chat. I said, Dave's going to come out in this game and say, you know, hey, we're going to evaluate what both guys did and we'll have a good week of practice, blah, blah, blah. This is what he says. This is going on right now, the press conference. Somebody's texting me. The plan was to start Bailey and have him finish the game. We wanted to get Ben some reps because he's one play away. Like, are you kidding me?
I don't know if we put it on the pod this week or not. I know I had texted you a bunch about it, but I had said, like, if we can get to the bye week, you'd be more effective inserting Finley into the Miami game because he's going to have a limited playbook, but they're not going to have much. So maybe you can jump out to a lead on them. And I feel like that's what we saw here, which was, you know, they were probably had a package for him. They probably didn't expect him to just march straight down the field. And then, you know, second half rolls around and they've adjusted to it. And then you just see what a freshman does when they're, you know, not sure what to do.
I told Bailey at halftime he didn't do anything wrong. You'll get another opportunity. He came in and played well.
Yeah, I mean, he did. Bailey Ockman is a backup quarterback. Like, I don't – like, Bailey probably came out of the game and was just like, all right, I'll be back in a little while. Like, I mean, Bailey Ockman, he's not an alpha dog. He's not a starting D1 quarterback. And
did you hear that's what he just said. I told Bailey at halftime he didn't do anything wrong. You'll get another opportunity.
Yeah, he's just managing him. I mean, like, look.
Oh my god.
It's pretty obvious. Once Finley has got a better grasp of the playbook, he's gonna be the starter. Like, it's just a matter of time. I don't know if you can get him there over the next 2 weeks. But if you can, I would almost say, like, prep him. Don't play him in the Miami game, maybe. But, I mean, Ockman is exactly who Ockman is. He's just going to be the guy that goes in and you just hope he doesn't throw the interceptions. I mean, honestly, if you had played him the whole game and, I mean, I just don't understand the play calling. Like, yeah. Why are you not going deep? Why are you setting Ockman up to fail early in a game that you know you need to score some points to have a chance?
That play calling early on was trash, man.
The Wildcat. Like, I don't know what to say.
The Wildcat. Run it once here or there, but don't.
There's no point in running it. And that, like, I mean, I don't know what was going on in Ricky Person's mind, and I really hope that he is not out for a long time. Maybe, you know.
It's concussion protocol.
Is it concussion? Okay, because it didn't look like a concussion issue when he went down. I thought, oh, fuck, collarbone, labrum, something, the way he turned over. So, okay, so let's assume that Ricky's back. I don't understand what even is going on. Like, Ricky gets the ball. He has an easy hole to get to the 3rd and 1, and then he bounces outside. That to me is kind of a sign that the team has got a weird mindset that week instead of just charging ahead. So, but, like, from a play-calling perspective, why are you doing a Wildcat with Bailey Ockman in the game? You're not throwing it to him. It's easy to defend. And Bailey Ockman, you are less predictable with Bailey Hockman under center and either doing a handoff or play action or a bootleg or like it's games like this where you sit back and you say, I know Tim Beck's a smart person. I know Dave Doran is at least mentally somewhat competent. Why are you making these decisions?
I mean, here's my question. So they had 34 yards rushing. They ran it 12 times. And you have two quarterbacks. You have one quarterback who is not very good. And you have one who's, you know, never played a college game before. And you rush it 12 times. Why do you do that? Why? I don't understand.
How many passes did Finley have? Let's see. 20. So I'd say 13. Well, he had 13 completions, but I'd say like about 15 of his passes were just extended run plays, right? They were just fast passes to the flats and let your guys make plays, which is fine. Like what I saw in him was it was no thinking. It was just boom, boom, boom. I'm just going to make the pass. I mean, the problem was when that blitz came and rolled him out of the pocket, he didn't know where to throw it.
Even in garbage time, I was switching over to Bailey for a second. Even in garbage time, Bailey was, you know, hesitant to throw a couple balls. It was strange.
He looked pretty damn confident throwing to my boys, Chris Scott Jr. and Anthony Smith, though.
Chris Scott was a contested catch.
Six catches, yeah. 112 yards between the two of them and a touchdown. I mean, there's your alphas. They're there. Yeah, I don't understand why we're not playing these dudes. I mean, and the thing is at least the Chris Scott catch was against whoever the starting DB was. Like, they weren't just out there playing dogs. I mean, you know, it may be time to shelf CJ Riley, you know, for the year and let him see if he can recover. He just doesn't look right to me. He's tripping up a lot. He's not getting separation. I don't know if it's helping him to play per se, or maybe they're just not using him maybe in an effective manner. But I think at this point, I'd rather see Smith and Chris Scott going forward because they're at least beating their guys. I mean, I will say this. CJ Riley has been tripped up twice now, and he's got his guy beat. And, so maybe I'm being a little harsh, but all right. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think you're being harsh.
So what did you think of Finley? What were your thoughts?
I thought Finley was fine. He came in. He brought a little energy. He had a little fire. Somebody mentioned in the chat the exact opposite of Ryan, personality wise. But he made some plays. He made some effort. You know, got out of the box. He made some mistakes. You know, he came back from the ridiculous Parham interception, which was not on him, but it's going to be in his stats. And got a touchdown. You know, nice throw to Amezi. He made some plays. He made some freshman mistakes that he's going to make. I think at that point, you roll with him and let him get that experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll just say Hockman's going to make the mistakes. My thing is you know what you got with him, I think. And then, you know what you're going to get with any freshman quarterback. So let him grow. I thought that was, they said they planned it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
But. No, my thought is, it looked exactly. I mean, he came in on the fourth drive. So I think they expected to put him in at some point. But what I think happened is they probably worked on a specific package all week with him. And, he looked good in that package. The problem is after running the same set of plays 20 times in a row, basically, UNC crept up and started, defending it properly. So to me, I was fine with him being pulled from the game at that point, because the thing is, he's going to have to rely on that base set of plays probably for the rest of the year. So you want him to be confident in them. You don't want him second guessing himself. And you also just don't want to put him in a situation where he's having to, like, clearly he was having to make plays because after the first read was gone, he didn't know what to do. So I was fine with pulling him. I also, there was just a part of me that was just like, if you're just going to put someone out there to get hit, I just let Bailey Hockman do it at this point. Like, Bailey's been doing it all his career. What I'm saying is, like, he's not, Bailey's mistakes are like different than what you saw Finley make, in my opinion, for the most part. Like, just Finley got some good experience. Let him grow from it. You can coach him up over the next 2 weeks. And if you want, you can build a whole system off of him. You could see his mobility as being very valuable. And I just think that Beck like ran out of the play sheet with him and just said, all right, like, that's enough. We saw what we wanted to see. And we saw good things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, if it kept working, he would have kept playing, I guess, is what I'm saying. But
that's the thing. So they say it was scripted that way. But if he doesn't fumble, you know, if Parham doesn't drop that ball, then, you know, he's got two TDs and a pick. They're not pulling him out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they're not putting Hockman back in.
I think what they were basically saying is like, hey, we saw enough. There's just no need to keep doing this right now. And, you know, they probably thought the game was over. And some part of them, I'm sure Tim Beck is sitting there going, I've given enough tape at this point, and I'm not going to, like, get a lot of coaching moments probably going forward. So let's just pull him out for right now. Let Hockman go back out there and be cannon fodder. I mean, what's disappointing to me is, like, they just didn't attack the way I thought they would. I thought they were going to come out and try to establish the run and work the play action hard, work double moves, throw it deep, and just, like, go play loose. And instead, they, like, came in thinking, like, all right, we're just gonna small ball our way down the field. Like, I don't know what was going on with the game plan there. It just reeked of a team that was like, we're going to lose this game. We don't want to play this game this week. Get us to the bye week. Dudes are unhealthy. You know, I guess the question is going to be, you know, do we get anyone back on the offensive line next week or, you know, after the bye week? You know, does Witt come back? Does Riley come back? What's the status of those guys? You know, hopefully Ekwonu, it looked like an ankle. I mean, it was probably some kind of sprain or whatever. So, you know, hopefully Ekwonu comes back. You know, just lick your wounds and get out of there.
Here's the thing. The defense, come back to the defense for a mm-hmm. minute. Second game without Tanner Engel, second game's defense looked like there was just no heart behind it. And I don't know what the correlation is there. If it's clearly just playing two better running teams and they just pounded you. Virginia Tech was the other game. UNC this game.
Yeah.
But clearly... And he was missed, obviously, but they didn't tackle. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you claim to be the tougher blue collar school. He was pounding his chest all week about it and then just got pushed around.
Yeah. It was just a real case for me of you're being way too loud about this blue collar thing. That made me think, he's not liking what he's seeing. He's trying to inspire the guys. Like, you know, the blue collar thing really worked when you beat the shit out of UNC that one year. And, you know, the UNC team you were playing was a soft team. You're playing a North Carolina team right now that's got a lot more pepper in it than it did those years. And I really thought it was just a misfire from marketing. And I guess I'm just a little... I think we were kind of talking about this in the chat. The blue collar thing is a little overplayed. You need to be able to back it up if you're going to do it. And
yeah,
three games this year now, you have not looked like a blue collar team from a physical standpoint.
Yeah, James in the chat just made a great point. Going back, excuse me, jumping around. He said he's young and needs reps, but a redshirt junior shouldn't be light years. Redshirt junior should be light years ahead of a true freshman. Hockman isn't. That says more about Hockman. And I agree. I think that's.
Yeah, he's limited.
Yeah, I think he's very limited. I think that's a serious problem to me. And that's why I think you get Bailey some reps get Ben some reps and not worry about his health, because UNC wasn't doing anything. They weren't bringing it I don't know. I was just disappointed how that was handled, but
I think they're trying to keep him positive, and they had seen enough. I was fine with it. There was no need to keep putting him out there. Like, I think there is a diminishing return on the value of reps if you are doing the same five or six plays and the defense is just sitting on all of them. And then you're forcing them to scramble and try to make plays. Like, just teach them up and let them go. I mean, the thing is with Bailey Hockman, the only way Bailey Hockman works as a quarterback is when your run game is working and when your defense is working. So, like, the script for this game made no sense because you didn't even try to establish the elements that support him. So, you know, again, I just think this was a bad coaching job. I think a lot of it was on the staff in some ways. But, you know, this is what happens when you lose your star quarterback and you've had questionable recruiting for a few years. It just starts piling up. You know, maybe you should have gone out there and got a grad transfer. Maybe you should have recognized that Bailey Hockman is a little limited and you should have tried to prep the program in case something like this happened. You know, so I don't know. Let's think about the rest of the schedule. How do you feel? How many games are we winning right now?
I still think there's still three out there that you can win. I still think so. I said that earlier. I don't really care who the quarterback is. I think if this team brings a better effort than they did today, which they've shown to do more often than not, then they'll be okay. Right? They'll win a couple games, but they've got to play better than they did. You know, the defense has got to be play better. The lines have got to play better. How do you rush 34 yards against Carolina and let them run for over 300? They just couldn't tackle. I really need to know what the missed tackle number was.
I mean, I think you're seeing the effect of, you know, Icky having to slide out. You know, I think we're just down too many people on the offensive line. I don't care how well someone looks.
Recruit more offensive linemen, yeah.
Oh, I agree, man. If you want, here, let me step back for a second. Let's, like, rewind. This is why Dwayne Ledford is a buster of a coach. I feel like I said it before. I'll say it again. He did a terrible job recruiting offensive linemen. Full stop. Done. Okay? So that's why we're missing, like, four or five other active bodies that we could be using, and we're having to play a bunch of freshmen. So,
yeah,
you know, anyone that's still up there, like, oh, Dwayne Ledford, oh, Band of Brothers. Yeah, he lived off of Mike Yuramovich's recruits, and that's the end of it.
Yep. Yep.
Good coach, terrible recruiter. So that's one problem. You know, again, it's just, I think we had a gap in recruiting philosophy for a couple years, and that's why you're seeing all kinds of young players throughout the team. It's why you should be kind of hopeful, you know, next year. You know, and I'm not saying wait till next year. I'm just saying, like, the pieces look better put together, I guess, for a strong run next year, and you can build off of the 4-1 start, and you can talk all you want about how Bailey Hockman or Devin Leary got injured, and we were top 23, and, you know, the whatever. So this was definitely going to be the hardest game of the season. I think anyone objectively would have said that. I think someone mentioned in the chat that, you know, hey, we got to win one of the next two games. I think that is not really a fair mindset. If you steal one of these wins, it'd be great. But, you know, Miami is still a good team and they're better put together than we are right now because they have a starting quarterback. It plays into our typical schemes, you know, playing a quarterback like him instead of Howell. So maybe, you know, maybe we have a better chance against Miami. But, you know, I could see us lose Miami and FSU and then go crank out three wins against the other guys. But we need to get the quarterback situation settled. So if it's going to be Finley, just, you know, give him all the reps here for the next 2 weeks then. And just build off of it so that you can win the last three games. And it'll keep your defense, I think, engaged, you know, to say basically, hey, we're not gonna teeter totter back and forth between these guys. We're gonna go with Ben. He's gonna give us the most chance, and we just need you guys to play lights out for two or three games here until he can get everything under his feet. You know.
Yeah, and I guess that's what they're gonna do. Oh, man.
I mean, look, I'm not even upset about this game.
I'm not either. That's the thing. Like, I came into this game, you know, Carolina's good, expecting them to play well. I expected a little bit more out of our defense, and that's I'm just disappointed in that part and the effort on that side. You know, and it's the fundamental thing, like tackling, right? Something you need to do, tackling. Okay. Should be something you should be pretty good at this point, right? You should be able to tackle somebody. But they just continue to not wrap up. They continue to not square up. I don't know if it's dialing down the aggression to not get penalties or whatever it is. But, man, in this game, you need to be the most aggressive. I mean, they ran these highlights before the game that it was just like battles. Coaches were fighting. I mean, it was ridiculous. And, like, that's the kind of blood you bring to this game. And I just had none of it, man.
I can't remember any game in recent memory where we lost or they lost their starting quarterback right beforehand. I know there's back in the day there was a converted safety or something like that that he does.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like, yeah. I don't care that far back. What I'm saying is, like, I'm not surprised we're kind of flat. You kind of hit it earlier. Engel is really important because he's a spark plug back there. He's overly physical, in my opinion, but they obviously feed off of that. And when you're playing a running back like Williams that's physical, like, our safeties were just a lot of times did that thing where they got flat-footed and then tried to, you know, they basically gave all the momentum to him when they were making tackles after he got through the second level. And I didn't like seeing that. And, you know, for the most part, I thought the rest of the guys played pretty decently. You know, I mean, I think De'Ami Brown had 7 catches and 105 yards, but his longest was 26. And, like, he didn't do what he normally did.
Yeah, they did what they wanted to do in that sense, where they didn't give up the big play, right? And they, you know, I was worried about our corners holding up against their wide receivers, and I think they did a good job for the most part. They played soft coverage, though, and, like, the announcers were drilling it early on. It's like, you just, you know, you can't give them 10 yards every play. And I know that's just a point of contention, but what they were doing is keeping them in front of you. But then you got to make some stops, right? Your defense, your other front six needs to make some tackles, and they were not doing it. And it was really just, you know, death by 1,000 cuts at that point. And then Carolina just ran it and ran it and ran it.
You know what was super weird? There were like 3 times where either a linebacker or DB had Sam Howell dead to rights, and we're going to just tee him off into another parallel universe. And then they all just like stopped. And then, like, instead of trying to hit him, I don't know what was going on there. That's where I think where they were like, all right, don't get a targeting penalty. We'll need you next game. Like, it was, I don't know, man. The mindset of the team was just completely off today. I don't know. I'm just looking through the stat sheet to see, you know, Nekemezi, good game. Man, I'm never going to be able to forget that Parham interception.
That's...
They set that play up all year, too. That was that thing, that boot kind of bootleg, distract you, let the tight end just run a route straight down the field. And it was perfectly executed. And then sometimes you're just so open that you do stupid things. Maybe that's what it was. But kind of like, I'm sitting there like, boy, it would have been nice to have Angeline there. I don't know.
I mean,
catch the ball. In the game. Did he come back in?
I didn't see.
You know, I don't know. It's just... This has been a slow build of injuries, I guess, and now it's starting to, like, I'm not trying to make the excuse. I'm just thinking forward here. It's like, you know, you lose Ottenreith, well, that's a hit to the run game. If Wilson's hobbled, well, that's a hit to the linebacker core. If Engel is out for long term or Person's out, so I guess we're going to start seeing Penix and Mims. Like, I don't, you know. You can just start seeing how it can all crumble, I guess, at this point. And
here's my concern. So we're middle of the road, right? I think that's a fair statement. I'm not being overly critical. I think we're more talented than the teams below us. Maybe not as talented as the teams above us. And we're just not going to punch out of our weight class. It's kind of where I feel right now.
Yeah, if Finley doesn't spark. I don't see how we can.
Yeah. I think Mac Brown is controlling the rivalry right now. I think that hurts. He's controlling the recruiting. That's going to hurt some more.
I mean,
you know, Dave still has a built-in excuse. Hey, I didn't have my quarterback. He got hurt the week before. You know, the defensive effort, though, is just super disappointing to me. I really
Couldn't have walked into a better rivalry situation, right? You get us 1 year where we have practically walk-ons playing at multiple spots.
Yeah.
And then the one key element we've got this year, the surprise, is we've got a good aggressive quarterback, and then they go down. You know, so like, I don't think we're winning this game with Devin Leary, frankly. I mean, obviously with that defensive performance, but you do think maybe it's a little closer, right? You know, Leary probably leads you in the first four drives down the field two times. And if you're going to play soft coverage, let them kill clock and let them, you know, drive the whole way down the field, Devin Leary at least shortens the game probably by 10 minutes of TOP.
Does UNC have a higher standard for football than we do?
No.
Fedora was 28-28 and they fired him.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I misunderstood what you meant.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. I don't think the ceilings are any different for either school, but Dave's middle of the road. I don't know what his record is. Excuse me, record is offhand. It's pretty close to right in the middle. And
is that what you want?
No, it doesn't matter. He's somewhere around the 500. He's right in there, especially if you remove the Clemson games, which we've talked about. You know, and they weren't happy with it, and they fired Fedora. I don't know. What do you think Boo's thinking after this game? Somebody asked that question.
If I'm Boo, I want to see what happens over the next few games, right? Like, if you're a good coach, it's time to earn that paycheck. I don't know what I'm paying you millions of dollars for if you can't coach your way out of this hole. Now, if I'm Boo, I'm realistic, and I say, all right, UNC and Miami were definitely going to be the toughest games, you know, within reason. So can you find a quarterback and get that thing settled and get the team playing well? At the same time, you know, see, the problem is like this year is just like, who do you think is going to be available? Like, let's say we nosedive and lose the remaining games.
Holy crap.
Let's just imagine, right? Like, you've got your third string freshman quarterback playing. The reality is I do not have expectations to win. I'm right here sitting right now. I'm sitting at 1.5 as the over under in my head. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. So let's say you can lock up the money from the boosters. Let's just take the money part of the equation out. Who's actually out there to really go get? And who is not going to sit there and be like kind of super skeptical too and be like, well, you're firing him during the COVID season and he's got all these injuries? Like,
See, coaches don't think like that. We've had that conversation with others. They want the job. Like, if you're certainly, and I don't know who it is, and we can probably talk about that another point. What you need is somebody who's going to out recruit the next guy. You know, I swear that this program was at its highest when Chuck was out there just grinding recruiting, right? And he brought in a really good quarterback that helps as well. But
yeah,
but again, he recruited, you know, he recruited at a high level and elevated this program to the highest it's been. And I think that's what you need, because I don't think you can keep your blue collar mentality the way, and I don't know if it's like the way college football is or the way things are going, right? You have that blue collar mentality, which is fine. You can bank on getting upperclassmen playing and, you know, winning with upperclassmen. That's not going to get you to the next level. It's definitely not going to get you to next level when you can't do it because there's so much roster turnover and things happen. And, you know, you look at Grobe, go back to Wake Forest and Jim Grobe, 10 years, super successful. And he was playing a lot of seniors all the time. Now, I would love for Dave to get there, but he cannot get there for some godforsaken reason. It's always, hey, we're young, we're young, we're young, we're young, we're young. And I mean, I don't know. It's a tough road to pave there. If you're going to, you know, you're trying to get that saying, hey, we're going to outwork you. We're going to be tougher than you when you're still playing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. Like that's a bad combination.
Yeah.
And I think that's so something needs to change in that regards.
Yeah. I mean, you either, if you're not going to recruit above your current weight, then you have to scheme your way above it. And, right. You know, I see flashes, but then you just start seeing it's like, okay, if we had like some kind of dynamic scheme right now. Now, again, I'm going to give Beck a lot of breaks considering it's his first year and what he's had to go through as far as quarterbacks, COVID, whatever. But I guess where I just sit there and just scratch my head again is like the Wildcat plays. Like they don't make any sense within the game flow, especially if you're not going to be like physical. So I'm a little head scratching with the play calling right now, but
yeah. So how can it work in practice?
Well, when we tackle like we do. Yeah, I'm sure.
maybe that's it. Maybe everything looks good in practice.
But I mean, here's the thing, right? Like he'll never do it. No coach staff probably would ever do it. But if you just came out and just been like, you know what? We kind of took our foot off the pedal, you know, and rode our laurels for a little bit when the Pac-14 team turned out way better than we thought. I don't know. I mean, Dave Doran teetered on and off for years before Finley got here. You know, I still feel like he squandered Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, he could sit there and say, oh, I didn't have the money to get the staff I want and all that stuff. Fine. I mean, if I'm Boo, I'm kind of saying like, dude, I'm giving you money. You need to start showing. You can't have multiple blowouts this year. And like,
you can't get boat race in year 8.
But it's like, you're not, my problem is like, you're not even, it's a fucking modern, like Phil Longo. I don't think Phil Longo is like some savant. Like there's nothing like crazy special what he's doing. And he's got good personnel and he's got an aggressive scheme. And like, for whatever reason, Dave Doran is like locked into the Big Ten mindset of like, just got to out physical guys the whole time. Like that works against Duke, UVA and like those types of programs. But then when you come across somebody like North Carolina this year is like Clemson light, you know, they got a lot of good skill players and a decent defense. That's why they're not Clemson. Why are we not building a program to be like that? Like, cool. Blue collar sounds really great and everything, but why don't you just be good? Like good collar? Maybe it's like what you should strive for. Like it's not 1995 anymore, you know? And like, you're clearly stuck on Bailey Hockman. It seems like at times because he's a coach's son and blah, blah. Like, I don't care about that. I want the guy who's going to go win us games. Finley looks like that. You know, next year, the good thing is you'll have, like, a better room to work with. Like, let's assume Devin Leary stays and is your starting quarterback next year. You will have Finley and you will have Aaron McLaughlin. And you can go right to those two before you have to trot Bailey Hockman out there again. I mean, if Bailey Hockman doesn't transfer, I'm going to, like, I guess I'll be happy because – I guess that can be your bottom. But, like, I kind of hope for Hockman that he, like, transfers down to a lower tier program and goes plays. He can play. You could work with him at another level. Like, he's just not a D1 quarterback. And, like, I kind of am, like, I was rolling my eyes multiple times this season. Like, Bailey Hockman saying, hey, I come into practice and I expect, you know, I expect myself to be the starter. Like, okay, whatever. That's coach speak. But then, I can't remember if it was Scalthorpe or whoever it was in his comments this week was like, we're out there. We're going to go out there and prove that Bailey Hockman is a D1 quarterback. And I was like, what? Like the fact you're even saying that out loud to the media is like a signal to me that he's not a D1 quarterback. His play should be talking for right. him.
Yeah. Something doesn't line up for me. It just doesn't square there. And
yeah. Let's not. You and I both want a black helicopter this thing, and we should save that for like three games from now when we're totally losing.
Yeah, I mean, the recruiting is getting better. The staff is a little better. Just so disappointed in the effort in this game. Again, you're playing – this is second game of the schedule where you're playing a team with better talent than you, and you just looked inept. And to me, that is a big red flag. I'm really disappointed in that part of it.
It's also like we should give Fedora some credit, right? Like most of these guys that are playing are Fedora's dudes.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, but like Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams, they made a point during the broadcast that nobody wanted him. He was a guy that out of like Wallace, North Carolina or somewhere.
I think so.
Yeah, and like nobody wanted him. And they got him and he's good. He's really, really good. Some of the cuts he made, I was like, that's legit. You know, we looked slow compared to them. Like across the board. Not just the running backs. Across the board, we looked slow. And I don't know if that's effort or if that's I don't know, motivation or if they just are that much slower.
No, but, I mean well, on defense, I think you're seeing the guys were trying to do something that was not what they were doing the rest of the year. So I think there was a little bit of overprocessing that was slowing some guys. You got young guys playing. Like eventually they kind of hit a wall and it looks slow, I guess. That doesn't explain like, you know, Peyton or Aleem or those guys. But I mean, I just think you're seeing the product of that gap in recruiting. Just the fact is, it's just like, I don't know why, but apparently this staff just thought like, you don't have to recruit fast wide receivers. And like, for the life of me, I cannot understand what the philosophy was for like three straight years where they were just like, oh, you know what? You just apparently need a jump ball catcher. And, you just need a converted quarterback to play slot receiver. Like I don't think the staff recognized how lucky they got on their evaluations. Like, I mean, and here's the fact. A lot of our guys that are in the NFL are like fringe NFL players. And, you know, you had a bunch of those guys and you were sniffing around 9 or 10 wins. So like, it should be a signal like for the people that say like, oh, recruiting doesn't matter. You can coach them up, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you need to have a higher floor that you're starting with. And, you know, I just think it's evident when you get in games like this, like if you're not going to out physical them and run for 300 yards, you get exposed multiple years in a row now. I mean, shit, we struggled to beat two really bad UNC teams with all those fringe NFL guys. Like,
we didn't struggle to beat them. They blew us out.
No. I'm talking about Finley's last 2 years, right? You got the overtime game, and then like I don't want to hear any reason why we were going into the fourth quarter of that game where Hines ripped off two back-to-back like winners. Like we should have been 30 points ahead of that team. Like that's what I'm saying is like it was evident to me at least that we had some talent issues. I am very excited about the 19 and 20 classes. Like you see the potential there, but if you just kind of sit there and like, what the fuck were you guys thinking for 2 years there with your recruiting efforts? And why haven't you been supplementing better with JUCO and grad transfers and things like that? Like they just seem to fail to recognize their deficiencies sometimes. And I just think that's a staff issue. That's a head coach issue.
Yeah. I'm trying to look, see if there's anything else to cover. Scan the box score.
Do you want to know what the time of possession is?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Got to be like 41-19, somewhere in there.
39-08 to 20-52.
Pretty good. Yeah, I mean, they just ran it down our throats, which was, it was embarrassing. That's the part of them I'm just so disappointed in. Like, I expected UNC's offense to be good, but 48 points and like previously when we've given up 48 points, it was like some interceptions, you know, pick sixes and a block punt. They just throttled us. They had to have close to 600 yards, right? Yep.
500 yards rushing. Yards, minus four on the turnover battle. Yeah. You know, we averaged 1.8 yards a rush. Now that includes, the QB sacks and stuff like that. But I mean, you can't, there's no way in hell you're winning this game. I don't think you're winning this game with a minus one turnover ratio, let alone a minus four. But, they lost the second they got off the bus is what it looked like. And,
that's pretty much sums it up. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just going to have to rebuild their confidence this week and hope that, I don't know. I feel bad for Beck. Like, this is the second stop in a row where he's had to deal with two or three quarterbacks getting injured in his first year. I guess what I would say is he should have some history to work off of here and just get Finley ready. You cannot trot Hockman back out there.
What's going to happen. The midweek press conferences, people are like, we're going to look at the tapes. And even after this game, I bet he's probably said it. We're going to look at the tape, see what they did. Ben did some good things and, Bailey came back in and, did some good things. Like Carolina's playing, their two starting corners aren't in the game. They're out protocols or whatever.
They were injured.
Yeah. Yeah. So the two of them are out. They're playing their third and fourth string cornerbacks and, you still have very little success. I don't know, man.
Well, like
disappointing.
Yeah. I'll put it like this. Maybe the best thing that could have happened. I'm assuming that they are going to go with Finley. Best thing that probably happened is now Miami is going to sit here and think for 2 weeks. Like, should we game plan for Hockman or should we just game plan for Finley? So maybe.
I don't think it changes their game plan.
Well, what I'm saying is like Doran is probably going to sit there and ride the fence all week and publicly because he knows, the only way, we got to waste their time some way, somehow, in how they evaluate this game. So that's why if you're a smart coach, you're going to come out and frustrate the hell out of people like us that want to hear you say Finley's going to be the guy. But if in reality they're sitting there like splitting reps in practice and shit like that, it's like, that's where probably you as an AD, you kind of step in and just say like, look, I know you like to have a little bit of gamesmanship, but like, let's get it clear. Like you need to pick one of these guys and focus. And we highly recommend it be the guy that's brother is in the AFL.
Hey, check this link I just put in our podcast chat.
Oh God. What am I looking at?
We're going to get a real time reaction to this one, folks.
Oh God. I don't have the audio on.
You should put the audio on. You can play it. It's not going to hurt us.
No, it's hurting me watching it. See, that's what I'm talking about, man.
They
so dumb
clowned us.
It was so dumb to put that video out last night. I mean, I'm sorry, like all respect to the social media team who kills it. And I know it is frustrating to work your ass off and make a really great video like that. And then to have the team go out and lay the turd, but like, why not just save that for next year or save that? Like, just so dumb. So dumb.
And now you're terrible. So
now you're getting clowned. And I have so to,
legit. I'm going to give everybody a play by play. Will, I just shared a link to Will. Carolina Football put out a video, a quote highlight video of the game that was just played. And it's over, I don't know what that is, clown music or whatever. And it's just highlights of them throwing us on the ground, scoring touchdowns. Like, they just clowned us. That hurt. That stings, man. That stings.
Good for them, man. At least they're acting like the alpha dogs. Like, right now, we'd be playing that video and be like, blue collar, blue collar, blue collar. Like, get some killer instincts in this program. I was sitting there kind of saying like, God, I hope, I was surprised that they trotted Howell out there for the first series of the fourth quarter. But,
So I put out that I put out a comment and says, hey, Carolina's got their starter still in. And people like jumped on me like, or jumped on it and just like, hey, you know, it was either a split that good, they should, it's a rivalry. And the other half was, you know, max class. Like I wasn't passing judgment. I would have done it too. If I'm Dave Dorn and we're up, you know, 30, I'm like, just freaking pound them, you know, pound them to death. That's what I would have done. But yeah, you know, we put in our center to get a touchdown against ECU when Dave Dorn was pissed. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. It is what it is. It's a rivalry game. Don't let them kick your ass like that. That's
Matt could have hung 70 on us if he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. Yeah. Really. They're really good.
You know, but I mean, again, doing it on an injury-riddled team, like kind of, you know, there is like a limit and you do kind of think like, all right, well, I don't want to set someone up for going forward. But yeah, your social media team is solely allowed to clown your ass when you put out a video like we did last night.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back later in the week. I don't have anything else. This is just reading. Dustin is watching the Tennessee-Alabama game. This has been two weekends of sports hell. Alabama's crushing Tennessee. We just lost. Yeah, it's been a bad week for Dustin. But
Wake is tied with Virginia Tech right now.
Who is?
Wake is tied with Virginia Tech right now.
Jesus.
I mean, again.
I'm glad we got Wake early. I'm going to tell you that.
Thank God. Indeed. You know? All right.
Yeah.
Glad I sanded the tabletop.
Yeah, right. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. It's okay to be disappointed.
Indeed.
It's okay. We all feel you. I think that's pretty much where I come to.
Yeah. Enjoy the bye week, everyone.
Oh, we have a bye next week. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, we got a bye week.
All right. Yeah. Y'all be good. Thanks for listening. We're out.
Go back.